Well, good morning, everybody, and we give you a very warm welcome to our Sunday morning service. It's good to be back again in the house of the Lord. Pastor Robbie, he's away for the day, so I'm stepping in for the morning. Norman's stepping in for the evening. But let's rise and worship the Lord together by singing a hymn. It'll be on screen, and it's, if you want to use the hymn books, it's 862, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Zion, City of Our God. Let's rise and sing together. Psalmist writes, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Let's come before the Lord and continue to worship him as we pray together. Our God and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Thank you for your goodness to us, for the measure of health and strength and soundness of mind you grant to us, enabling us to gather here in this fashion. Thank you for the many blessings of the week, even as we think on the week that's gone by since we last met here. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done. You are the creator, and you're the giver of life, and you're the giver of all good things. We worship and we adore you this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a great salvation in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the bread of life. He is the door, and if we enter in through him, we know that we are saved. We thank you. He's the way to you, Lord God. The salvation is found in Christ alone and no one else. We worship, we adore you, Heavenly Father, for a great plan of salvation, for the perfect plan of salvation, for sending your Son to be the Saviour of mankind. We thank you that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's conquered death. He's defeated the wicked one. He's risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And Jesus Christ is Lord. We know that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We do pray that all here this morning will indeed know the joy and the blessings of assured salvation, Lord, and know that they're walking in a right relationship with you. We praise you, we worship you this day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, and we pray that we, your people, would be filled with your Spirit this morning and be better equipped to serve you now in the days that lie ahead. Minister to us, speak to us, we pray, from your word this day. Bless our gathering, Lord, and be with those who are not able to be with us, Lord, maybe away for the weekend, for this time. We pray for those who are laid aside, sick through or through ill health. We especially remember our brother Stanley Morris this morning, who's been in the hospital. We commend him to you, commend him and his family to you at this time, Heavenly Father, and we do pray you'd strengthen those who are indeed laid aside in such a fashion. Lord, be with us this morning, and we do pray for a real sense of your presence in our midst. We pray. We do pray that you'll help us in all that we say and do here. Thank you for the boys and girls who are here this morning too, and we do pray you'd ask your blessing on the Sunday school this morning. We pray, and Lord, we just pray that all that we say and do here would be pleasing to you and bring glory to your name. And these things we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during the prayer there, I pray that we'd know a real sense of the presence of God in our midst. And we're going to sing about that now as we sing our second hymn. It's Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And as we sing, of course, the young ones will go off to Sunday school. But let's rise and sing our second hymn this morning.
Thank you.
Now, for the notices, do make sure you've got a copy of the bulletin. Thanks again to Alma for the hard work she puts in for this. But this is a bulletin for the whole month of July, so make sure you get a copy. Those keep you up to date with what's going on over the month. As you can see, I'm stepping in this morning. There is communion following the morning service, so if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you're most welcome to remain behind. And tonight, Norman will be taking the evening service, so do come along and support him. He's asked me to make a special announcement about this. You know how the pastor's been having these evening Bible studies with the young people, and he always says they're open to those who are over 20. Well, Norma would like you to be aware tonight that tonight in the service, he's catering for the under 20s. I think he hopes to have some of the younger people, the children involved, but he says he'll also be ministering to the under 120s. So if you fit that category, okay, he asked me to announce that. So if you fit that category, you're most welcome to come along, and I'm sure you'll be blessed this evening. Just notices for the coming week. It's the last Cafe MS tomorrow from 12 to 2. There's the two prayer meetings, Wednesday evening, 7:30, and then Saturday at 7 o'clock. Do come along if you are able. And then Robbie will be back ministering next Sunday, God willing, morning and evening. I think these are all the notices that I need to make. Now, the Lord's offering will be uplifted. And as we take up the offering, the chorus will go up on screen. We're going to sing, remaining seated, we're going to sing the chorus, Father in Heaven, how we love you, we lift your name in all the earth. Bible reading this morning then comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis, chapter 11. I'm going to read a familiar Bible story, you might call it, but I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. We're looking at the Tower of Babel this morning. You might refer to it as the Tower of Babel, but I'll be referring to it as the Tower of Babel, and I hope as we go on this morning you'll realize why I call it the Tower of Babel. But it's Genesis, chapter 11. Reading from verse 1. Genesis chapter 11, reading from verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. As people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which we've read. We thank you all scripture is God-breathed. And we pray and ask you to speak to us in a very real way from your word this morning. And we pray you teach us by your spirit. And we pray that you'd be glorified in our midst this day. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the ministry of the word. Be with us here now. We pray be with Norman as well, taking the service tonight. We ask your blessing upon the Sunday schools that's going on at this present time also. And Lord, we ask you to bless the work and witness of the church here now and in the days that lie ahead. And we do pray that through the witness and the ministry here, that many lives will be changed, that many souls will be saved and people added to your kingdom. We pray that through it all you will be glorified. And Lord, we do pray, we stop and just pause for a moment, think of our nation today, Lord, which is in such a mess now. The instability and the uncertainties regards the government, Heavenly Father, and so many, it seems, national tragedies, disasters, attacks, Lord, there's always these dangers, and people are worried about many different things. Lord, we do pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd come and minister into the situation, you'd come and heal this nation, and we do pray you'd move by your Spirit. We pray for a move of the Spirit, we pray for a turning to you in these days, Lord, with you. All things are possible. Lord, make your presence known and make it known who you are and what you have done. We do pray for people to turn and seek the Lord while he may be found in these days that we're living in. So, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our time together this morning. Speak to our hearts, we pray. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we come to God's word this morning, we'll be looking at the Tower of Babel. We're going to sing the 23rd Psalm, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. And this is the version that'll be up on screen. It's got the chorus, and I will trust in you. So let's rise and sing the 23rd Psalm, and then we'll look at the Tower of Babel this morning.
Your soul.
Well, the opening chapters of the book of Genesis tell us that God is the God of the beginning and the new beginning. He's the God of the beginning, and he's the God of the new beginning. There are four great events recorded in Genesis 1 to 11. The creation, number one, the creation of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke and it was created. The creation of the universe, including, of course, the creation of man and woman. Number two, the second great event, it's the fall of man, a sad event, the fall of man. Mankind was given a choice to obey God's commands. Mankind rebelled. Sin entered the world. Sin and suffering entered into the world. Then there was number three, the flood. And mankind had become so wicked, God sent the flood, but Noah and his family were spared. Man was wiped off, apart from Noah and his family, man was wiped off the face of the earth. And then fourthly, the fourth great event recorded in the opening chapters of Genesis, it's the one that we're looking at this morning, the attempted construction of the Tower of Babel. You see that when mankind disobeys God, you can see that God judges sin. But then you'll see also that in his grace, he makes a new beginning. It's always like a pattern in these opening chapters in the Bible. God comes, he judges, but in the midst of the judgment, there's always grace. So at the time of the fall, there was a word of grace to fallen mankind. No grace at all for the serpent. There was coming one that was going to crush the serpent's head. It was going to defeat the devil. But there was a word of grace for mankind that there was going to be a redeemer, a savior coming. So a word of grace for the man. And then in the midst of the judgment on mankind at the time of the flood, there was grace, Noah and his family. Noah was found righteous in the eyes of God, and he and his family were spared. They were saved. So you see that God judges sin. There's a judgment for sin, but there's always grace. And so it is, even up to the present day. There's judgment for sin in this life and the life to come, but there's grace. God has sent his Son. Those who trust in his Son will know the blessings of his salvation. Sin, judgment, grace. Sin, judgment, grace. A regular pattern in the opening chapters of the Bible, throughout the Bible, and indeed it goes on even up to the present day. Sin, judgment, grace. Adam and Eve sinned. God clothed them and promised to send the world a redeemer. Cain killed Abel, but Seth carried on the godly line. Mankind became so wicked, God had to wipe the earth clean with a flood. Noah and his family believed God's word and were spared. After the flood, the descendants of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they repopulated the earth, and you've got the new beginning. But this new beginning led to one of the most arrogant rebellions against God recorded in Scripture. We're going to look at that this morning. It's the building of the Tower of Babel. We'll see what was so bad. We'll see mankind in rebellion against God. Just a note as well that chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11, would likely have occurred before Genesis chapter 10. Chapter 10 speaks about the nations descended from Noah. Chapter 10 speaks of a scattering or a division. In verse 25, we read these words, "To Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." So there you are. The name Peleg there in verse 25 means division. So there was a scattering. There was a division. This division would likely have been, this division would have been a consequence of the judgment at Babel, which we'll read about, which we'll look at. So you see the arrangement of the chapters, chapter 10 before chapter 11, it's literary rather than chronological. Okay, the chapters are out of order here. And this story that we're looking at this morning leads on, when you look in later on in Genesis chapter 11, it leads into the genealogy of Shem, which will lead into the genealogy of Abraham. So once again, you've got the pattern that you'll see. You've got sin against God, you've got God's judgment, but you've got grace, because it leads into the God's call of Abraham, which will be a blessing for all nations of the earth. There's the promise given to Abraham. But let's come and look at the Tower of Babel this morning. And what we can see, first of all, well, what do we see? As we begin with the whole earth. We're told the whole earth had one language. Sounds good, okay? No need for any French lessons in school or anything like that. The whole earth had one language and the same words. Don't need to learn another language to speak to people The whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. So they're all together. But what we see here in the opening verses, Genesis chapter 11, what you're seeing is God defied. Because this pattern of the whole earth, you know, moving together, all living together, that was not God's intention for the planet, for the world. You see, first of all, then, God defied. This is rebellion against God. God had given his people a command to be fruitful and multiply and scatter over the earth. You see it after the flood in Genesis chapter 9. We were told, and God, Genesis 9 verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then over in Acts chapter 17, Paul is speaking and he says, and he, as God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. See that? All the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries for their dwelling place. It was never God's intention that mankind would just bunch together as one great group of people in one place all the time. God's original intention, you can see from the scripture, was always national groupings to scatter and populate the whole planet. And what you've got then in the opening verses of Genesis chapter 11, you've got God's people in rebellion to a command of God. God's people are resisting. God's people are rebelling against God. We're told here that the people are settled. They settled. They found a place in the land of Shinar and they settled there. So the people are settled. It's all nice and cozy. They've got a nice plain, a nice place to live. It's all nice and cozy. They're comfortable with their surroundings. They're comfortable with each other. But they're self-sufficient. They're not comfortable in God. They're not rejoicing in him. They haven't made him their refuge. They leave God out of their lives. They leave God out of their plans. They're self-sufficient, self-dependent. No time for God. No time to worship the true and the living God who has created them and has promised to send a Savior. And you know, they made, for the times that they lived in, they made great advances. They made great, engineering advances. They were able to make bricks. They've done their experiments, they've carried out their tests, they've observed, they've concluded. They've come to realize we can make bricks out of clay and we can leave them to dry in the sun, they'll become hard, they'll grow hard, we can cement them together. So they, you know, they've made great advances in the realms of technology and architecture and engineering and whatever. But they've made these advances for the times that they lived in, but they are not using their knowledge, they're not using their abilities, they're not using what they have learned to bring glory to God. Instead, what they are doing, they're going the opposite direction, they're rebelling against God, they're going their own way, seeking to please and gratify themselves. And what they're doing really by constructing this tower, they've learned how to make bricks and they're saying, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens and let us make a name for ourselves. They're really making, by building this tower, they're going to make an idol. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower. They're making an idol. What's an idol? People come up against idols today. There's idols today that missionaries and preachers come up against, missionaries in foreign lands will come up against idols, where people are bowing down to carved images and stones and statues. We would be familiar with that use of the term idol. Sadly, people in this country also will be bowing down when they go home from their work in the evenings. There are certain people who will bow down before idols, before these kind of idols, carved images. But people in all walks of society as well make idols for themselves. They can make idols out of different things, work, car, job, lots of money, whatever. They can. There's nothing wrong with these things as such, of course, but it's when they take the place, when they get in the way of our relationship with God, it becomes an idol. People can make idols out of sports personalities or music personalities or whatever, famous people as well. They make idols, something to just to take the place of God. They worship these things. And this tower, going back to the Tower of Babel, it's an idol. It's taking the place of worship of the true and the living God. It's getting in the way of these people's relationship with God. This tower they built at Babel was a ziggurat. What's a ziggurat? Sounds like, I don't know what that sounds like, a ziggurat. But it was, it's a ziggurat. I'll tell you what it was, what it really meant. It was a tower being built for religious purposes. Not though for worship of the true and the living God, not like a church building. It's a ziggurat, built for religious purposes. If you can imagine the shape of it, it would have been like a pyramid. But except, unlike the pyramids that we're familiar with, that we see in photos of the pyramids of Egypt, the successive levels of these ziggurats would have recessed. So it was like steps being made. And you could actually walk to the top of the tower up the steps. Okay, each level was recessed, so you could actually walk up. You could put your feet on and walk up the tower on steps. And at the top of the tower was a special shrine that was dedicated to a god or a goddess. And in building the structure, the people weren't trying to climb up to heaven to dethrone God. They weren't trying to climb up to dethrone or to meet with the true and the living God. But what they were hoping was that the god or the goddess that they worshipped would come down from heaven to meet them. And the structure and the city were called Babel. Okay, let's build a city and a tower. So the structure, this tower and the city were called Babel. Do you know what Babel means? It means the gate of the gods. The gate of the gods. So you see, this is idolatry here. People have abandoned the true and the living God, God the Creator. People have abandoned the true and the living God to worship false gods and idols, something to take the place of the true and the living God in their lives. They're building Babel, the gate of the gods. Do you know who the driving force behind it all was? Who was in charge of the people at this time? Who was the leader? It was a man called Nimrod. Nimrod. It's mentioned in that Genesis chapter 10, which speaks about the nations descended from Noah. Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 to 10, we read these words that Cush fathered Nimrod. Okay, this is the descendants of Ham. And you go in verse 8, Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And then verse 10, it goes on to say, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Okay, so Nimrod's really the one who's pushing it all. He's the commander in chief. He's a man of, we're told there, great ability, a man of great military prowess. He's a strong man, physically strong, a man of great military prowess. And he is determined to establish his own form of centralized government at Babel, which is later to be called Babylon. There you are, so you see why I call it Babel now. Babel becomes Babylon. And all this that was going on, this building of the city, building of the tower, creation of Babylon, building of the tower to worship a false god. All this is in direct opposition to God's command. God has said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. People are all together to take part in this these idolatrous actions. Why are they doing it? Well, I said that people make idols for themselves, for self-pleasure and for self-gratification. They get in the way of their relationship with God. People worship these things. And this is what we're seeing here. They say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Okay, they want the glory. It's all an action of self-gratification. God is being left out of their ways, their plans, their ideas, their ambitions. Do you know what we're seeing here at the Tower of Babel? It's a picture of mankind today. It's a picture of society today. Proud, arrogant, defying God. You've got God defied at the Tower of Babel. You've got God defied today in 21st century Britain. Mankind has always been in rebellion to God. People today leave out, they forget God, they defy God, and they seek to put their hope in idols. What does it say in the book of Jonah? Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So it is today. And what you've got here, and what you've got today, is that people seek to glorify man. They want to put man in the place of God, make him God. It's quite similar to the rebellion that I read about earlier in Psalm chapter 2. We read these words, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. These are the nations of the world making plans against the Lord God Almighty and his anointed. Who is God's anointed king today? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the context of Psalm 2, there it would have been rebellion against the Lord and the king of the nation, God's anointed king of the nation. Today, people are in rebellion against the Lord God and his anointed king, his only son, God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. This rebellion goes on. People become self-sufficient, keep God and his son out of their lives, neglect his offer of grace and mercy and salvation. People make their plans without God and they turn and they cling on to worthless idols. Therefore, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. How wrong it is to make plans without God, to live a life without God, to keep God away out of your life, to defy God. How wrong and how foolish it is to rebel against God and to be in continual defiance of God. And so it was for the people at the Tower of Babel. We see the consequences. We see sin. We see the judgment. I said that there's always this pattern in the opening chapters of Genesis that goes on. You've got sin against God. You've got judgment. Judgment follows sin. And you can see that after God has been defied, we see in verses 5 to 7, we see the second point this morning, we see God's intervention. God's intervention, verses 5 to 7. Back in the 20th century, there was a teacher and preacher wrote many books. He was what we call an apologist, which means he didn't apologize for what he believed, but no, he was an apologist. He defended the faith. And he showed the consequences, really, what would happen that if people abandoned the idea of mankind being made in the image of God, and we were just left to our own devices. His name was Francis Schaeffer. I do recommend some of his books. They're a bit hard to read, man. You need to take your time to read through them. His first book was called The God Who Is There, and really shows how God reveals himself to mankind in many different ways. He wrote a follow-up to that book, He Is There and He Is Not Silent. He is there and he is not silent. And that's what we have to say this morning, that we maybe look at the world round about us, we think times are difficult, we see mankind in rebellion against God, making plans governments and leaders and officials and people throughout the nations making their plans without God, planning different things. We see terrible things happening in our nation and in others, but we need to remember He is there and He is not silent. And God is not ignorant. God is not silent. He's not silent to that rebellion that I read about in Psalm 2. Oh, the kings and the nations of the earth take their stand against the Lord and His anointed. Do you know how God responds? He's unmoved. His plans will be worked out. We're told the God who sits in the heavens laughs. Laughs. He's unmoved. He's unchanged. And He will work out, He'll bring about His plans for this world. And so it is. We see it in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel. Because there God comes down. Mankind is defying God, making plans against God, making idols for himself, clinging to these idols. God is not silent. God is not ignorant. And He comes down. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. He says in verse 7, come, let us go down. And He comes and He thwarts the schemes of men. He brings it down. You know, there's nothing that man can build in his own strength. And there's nothing that mankind can build in defiance of God that will last. Babel became Babylon. In the Bible, Babylon represents the anti-God movement. You see that from Genesis right to the end to Revelation. The anti-God movement. Consider Daniel and his friends, they were taken into exile to Babylon. Babylon came and conquered the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah. Daniel and his friends were taken into exile along with the cream of the nation's youth. And then one night the ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream which terrified him and really troubled him. Four kingdoms that were brought down. Brought down, though, by a rock that was not cut by human hands. It's brought down by God. God will bring down the plans of men and nations, those who defy Him. The kingdoms are brought down by a rock, not cut by human hands, brought down by God. There have been different political systems and regimes and ideologies down through the years, down through the generations that have fallen. Hitler's Third Reich, Hitler declared that history would remember him as a god. Instead, God brought down Hitler and his regime. The Soviet system, the Soviet Union and its system and its communist system, which was anti-God and anti-Christianity, it's gone now. Still, maybe communism remains in some parts of the world, I know. But the Soviet Union, the Soviet system's been brought down. What about our own British Empire? What's that like today? Where is it today, the British Empire? Do you know, do you fear the advance of IS, the so-called Islamic State? You fear what's going on with some of these terrorist attacks in this country, carried out by Islamic terrorist groups? Well, you fear the threat of the so-called IS who want to put their flag over the top of Buckingham Palace. That's their goal, to raise their flag there. You know, even if an Islamic caliphate, that's their name for a kingdom, even if an Islamic kingdom was to be set, you know, it will only be a temporary kingdom. And then you've got other movements today with different sorts of movements, not political movements, but you've got movements like the Richard Dawkins movement, the new atheist movement. And he's, you know, if you looked on his website and see the kind of things that people are writing against God, see the movement there, against God, denying the existence of God, against the people of God. You get movements like these. Movements may have their day. Movements may have their day, political regimes and kingdoms may have their day, but you know a day is coming, the Bible tells us, when God will bring the plans of men in defiance to God. God will bring these plans down. A day will come when, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, we read these words, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Mankind may rebel against God, and mankind may dream up what looks like in our eyes the most brilliant assaults against God and against the people of God. But you know, God's plans and purposes will be fulfilled. Our God reigns. Jesus Christ is Lord. And despite opposition, God is unmoved. God is unshaken. He is the Lord. And in Psalm 29 we read, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. And you know, God will bring his plans for the world to a triumphant conclusion. And those who reject him, those who live their lives in defiance of him, one day will face his wrath. You see, the people here, they sin against God. They go their own way. They do their own thing. They leave God out. You've got sin. You see, it's followed up by judgment. God comes down. God is there. He's not silent. He's not ignorant to what's going on. And he comes down. And he judges. God is not ignorant to what's going on in our land today, with the laws that's being passed. God is not ignorant to what's going on in our land as regards how Christians now are being hounded and subtly persecuted. God is not ignorant to what's going on in the nations of the world. Those who reject, who stand against God, who take their stand against God and his people, will face his wrath. What about you? Are you living a life in rebellion to the Lord God this morning? Are you continuing to defy him in your heart? Be warned, God is there and he is not silent and he will intervene. And you can see also, as we come to our third point, we see God defied, we see God's intervention. But consider this morning God's purposes. I said that in the opening chapters of Genesis, you've got these three themes. You've got sin, you've got judgment, but you've got grace. You've got grace. You see the grace of God, that God now works out his purposes. And although the people have been in defiance of God, God is still going to work out his purposes and plans for the world. Because the people, after God confuses their language, the people are scattered, just as they were always meant to be. In verse 8 we read, the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And the building of the city and the tower is abandoned. Man made his plans. Mankind made his plans, but God overruled. And God's plan for the world would be fulfilled, and it continues to be fulfilled. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And you know, the people here in Genesis chapter 11 had attempted to come together as one people by their own schemes, and they attempted in doing so to bring glory to themselves. But you know, it's God and his ways, which are much wiser than man's ways. God would bring people together. And God would build a kingdom that is going to be everlasting, that will be everlasting, that is everlasting, a kingdom that is united through his Son. Therefore, as Paul says in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Babel is reversed. There, mankind tries to reach God. In God's plan of salvation, God came down to man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're told later, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God came down to man in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, God scattered the people at Babel, at the Tower of Babel, and he confused their language. There's a confusion of language. You know where else in Scripture we have a confusion of different languages? We've got different languages being mentioned. Well, God scattered the people at Babel. There was a confusion of languages. But at Pentecost, not a confusion of languages, but at Pentecost, God brought people together of different languages. He brought them together. In Acts chapter 2, and we read in verse 11, the people are looking on, they're amazed, and we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. There you are. So Babel has been reversed. God brings the people together. People of different languages. He brings them together. You know, mankind is all one in sin. We are all one in sin. We're all lost under the wrath of God. Mankind has always been in defiance of God down through the generations. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us need the same salvation, the same Savior. God has come down to mankind. Mankind cannot reach up to God. That's been a pattern down through the ages also. But mankind can never, in and through his own efforts, reach up to God. Christ has come. God has come down to man in the person of Christ. Christ has come. He reconciles men and women to God. Sadly today, many are building their Tower of Babel, delighting themselves in idols, trying to do the things that never can be done, making plans, pursuing ambitions without God. What about you this morning? Do you live and delight in God? Do you live for God? Do you know that you are blessed by him? Do you know the joy of assured salvation? If not, you need to get on your knees and repent and fall before him, confess your sin to him, make him your Lord and Savior of your life, and he will pardon and forgive you. You can begin a new life, a new understanding, and your eyes will be on a new city. People in Genesis 11 had their eyes on their own city, a city they were building. But for those of us who know the Savior, our eyes are on a new city. As the writer to Hebrews puts it, a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God, the city of God. Is that your destination this morning? Well, let's remember, people defied God. That was sin. Judgment follows sin. There's always a judgment for sin. God intervened. But in the midst of sin and judgment, there's always grace. God works out his plans and purposes for the world. God has worked out his plans and purposes for mankind. He sent his Son to be the Savior. He's building his kingdom, a kingdom that will last forever. Make sure that you are part and you rejoice at being part of that eternal kingdom through knowing Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your Savior. Amen. I'm going to close by singing Jesus is Lord. It's a reminder that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you want to use the hymn book, it's the hymn 221. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Hymn 221, Jesus is Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen.